Traveler, where is God taking me? That question probably resonates with all of us from time to time, moment to moment, season of life. For those that are convinced that there is a personal God that loves us, that wants to be a part of our lives, sometimes that where is God taking me might sound a little bit frantic. Where is God taking me? Not where is God taking me? For those kicking the tires, you're still trying to figure out that. You're trying to figure out, man, I just went through something, and if God was a part of that, I don't want a part of that kind of a God. So that where is God taking me? We're all traveling. We're all going someplace. And sometimes we're resistant. Sometimes it's dragging. Sometimes we say, I'm not going to take another step, which reminds me of this little situation. So, where are you? I don't even know. What kind of dog is that? Golden Retriever. Thank you. That shows you what I know. I knew it was a blonde dog, but I couldn't remember what kind. Anyway, I didn't mean that in a... Anyway, now that came out really... Okay, message is over. We'll see you next Sunday. My goodness. You thought it. I didn't even think it, so... God, where are you taking me? Okay. Yeah, right. Keep digging. Thank you. You know, we are all travelers, and we're going to go. That owner was a little patient with his dog. He probably was patient with his dog, too, because he had an audience who was being videotaped. What would have happened? Well, how much would he have, you know, let the dog just lay there? But, you know, sometimes you and I can be just like that dog. God's gentle with us, pats us, you know, and we're not budging. But the reality is, even when we think we're not budging, he is taking us. He's taking the world somewhere. There's a beginning, there's an end. And we watch things and it scares us, but it shouldn't. The end is going to be glorious when it's all finalized. And it's a new heavens and a new earth. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper communion, we usually talk about that. Someday, everything restored. That's where he's taking. It's his story, and he's taking this there. And we can join it, or we can hold back. But we're all going there. Someday, our life will be over. And hopefully, it will begin a new life in heaven and with Christ. And that takes place when we say yes to Christ. When we say no to Christ, that is not an option for us. Not very pleasant to talk about, but there is a heaven and a hell. And sometimes you may have a friend that even brought you this morning, and they're very concerned about where you'll spend eternity, and you get a little irritated about it. It's because they love you, and they're thinking that way. It would actually show a lack of love if they weren't concerned about that. Maybe someone online, someone's been driving you crazy to tune in one week and hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, and you finally have succumbed, and you're probably doing a couple other things, trying to vacuum while you're watching. Doesn't work that well. But anyway, you're doing something like that, but their intent is for you to hear the good news, because we're all going somewhere. And this may seem a little too poignant, but my dearest friend since 5 years old, so I spent a lot of time in his home, and just yesterday, his mom went home to be with the Lord. And this is just hours before she passed. And her last words to her family was, "Don't be sad." Because she knew she was a traveler. She knew where she was going. There was no fear. There was no hesitation. She actually said, "I am ready, ready, ready." And so when she closed her eyes, breathed her last breath, she opened up her eyes in the presence of her Lord. See, we're all traveling, and God wants us to take us to that destination. Actually, unlike that dog, he's not going to drag us. He's going to get our attention. He might yank a little, but he's not going to drag us the whole way. It is your choice to respond to him speaking into your life. So as we think about all the things going on and we think about life is fragile, it's fragile for all of us. This isn't to make you feel totally depressed, but you know, your life is fragile. We think it isn't. It's an illusion to think that everything, you know, things happen quick. And so, you know, we just need to be aware of that idea that, life is really, really fragile. So when we're thinking about this thinking about being a traveler, and we're thinking about this idea of 1 Peter, we're taking a little detour. I just wanted to give you some principles this morning for us to think about as we're thinking about traveling, and we'll get back into 1 Peter next week. So just some things to remember about God's direction, about where God's pointing us to where we're going. If we're all traveling, and we're all traveling to a destination of eternity, where are we going to end up, and how is the road going to go as we move along? Jesus says this, and this is adapted from a number of translations just to get the full meat and color of what he says in 13 and 14 of chapter 7. Matthew recorded these notes for us, one of Jesus' friends. "Don't look for shortcuts, for the wide exit has a broad road which leads to disaster." That's not heaven. That's hell. "And there are many people going that way." Don't look for the shortcut. Don't think that, wow, if I'm just a good person, I can be just good enough. You know, it's interesting. We have this little booklet we mention every once in a while. It's all over the place in these little pockets throughout the building. It says, "How good is good enough?" And yeah, I would love you to read this, but the bottom line is we're not good enough. But Jesus was and is good enough. So it's almost like a shortcut. You might not think it is, but to do all these good things to, in a sense, kind of earn God's favor, that's a shortcut from actually giving your life to him. There are no shortcuts from that. And why? "For the wide exit has a broad road and leads to disaster, and there's many people going that way. But small is the exit and narrow the road that leads to life." John 3:16 talks about eternal life. Unpacking that, it's full life now and forevermore. Only a few are finding it. That direction to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Not on the side. It's not a side dish. Sometimes I have to ask myself, even as a pastor, is my faith a side dish? Is all of my life this and faith stuff is this and I'm just a religious worker? That's not what Jesus is saying. It's vigorous, all in, all engaged. I think when you do that, there's joy. It's not an empty just heaviness. I was listening to someone recently that talked about the responsibility and the burden of life, and that's kind of our deal, and there was just no joy in that. Yes, there's responsibility. Yes, there can be heavy lifting, but when you do heavy lifting work and carry that whatever with God's help and get to the other side or get the thing accomplished in His name, there's joy, there's delight, there's, wow, we accomplished something. But it's vigorous. Full in, all in, all in till I'm all done. I actually have that written in my notes that I read a couple times a week. It says, all in till I'm all done. At least that's my hope. That's my desire. So it really is vigorous. So when we think about God's direction, it's more like a GPS than a tip trick. I can't even say that. It's good they don't make those anymore. Well, they probably, a AAA trip tick. Okay. Some of you, do you know what one of these things is? Who knows what one of those are? Who absolutely doesn't? Look at you, you youngsters out there. Those things were awesome. Cindy and I have been married so long and so old that when we got married and we go on vacation, we would get one of these. This is the only reason we had AAA. And you'd open this thing up, and it would have every little place, and sometimes there'd be construction, and it would flip open, and there'd be this little detour thing. It was great. My parents still wish they had these. But that, see? I tried, I'm getting Dad to use one of these babies. He won't do it. Will not do it. When I first moved here, and we were living in Waterloo, and I would go visit out to the Williamson compound, somewhere out in Ovid, somewhere that way. There's like 20 different ways to go there. And I would always use my GPS. And one time, for some reason, I didn't have access to it. And I'd been there half a dozen times. I didn't know where I was going. I could not remember. GPSs are wonderful. But the difference is between a trip tick and a GPS is a GPS can adjust as you're going. Tip trick, you're locked in. You do not want to, if you get off that thing and get into the areas that aren't highlighted, you're falling off the side of the earth. There's no backup. There's no redirecting. There's none of that. When it comes to our walk with Christ, when it comes to direction, there's a GPS. And some of that is because He likes to be along for the ride. He likes to be guiding you each step of the way. And when you get off track, He's there to help you get back on track. And sometimes there's a traffic jam. Yesterday, my little thing, I was coming back from Rochester. It said, would you like to save 9 minutes? Yes. And all of a sudden it changed because it knew something was going on there. So, having God, we could call it a God positioning system, a GPS, is a wonderful thing. So it's not like laid out like this. Isn't that good? Because, you know, you make a mistake, you get stuck somewhere, and all of a sudden you are stuck forever if it's the triptych. Marriage, you might say, well, you know, when I was in that mode or I am in that mode, there's a few options out there. And maybe you make one option over the other option. And yes, you find out that was the woman that God had for you, a man God had for you. But what if it was off a little bit? What happens? Are you like stuck now? Is it? No, redirecting. God gives you direction. And, we read this, Paul, when he was traveling, he would have ideas. After I go through Macedonia and I will come to you, for I will go through Macedonia, perhaps I will stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me journey wherever I go, for I do not want to see, my eyes are getting old too, for I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. That's GPS living. That's not tip trick. And that's kind of the way it goes. And it can be exciting. It can be exciting as you travel that way. It can be a joy because God is a part of that. Reading on, but I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door of effective work has opened to me and there are many who will oppose me. Just the whole idea of having that flexibility, but still moving in a certain direction. I like what Larry Osborne has to say. Rather than spelling out everything in detail, it sets forth general guidelines and principles with lots of freedom and flexibility for adjustment as life unfolds. And when you think about that, you think about how life unfolds, you think about God's direction, sometimes we're really fixated on where I need to be, the place I need to be, the job I need to be, this real exact stuff, and we find out it's more about how we live than where we live. It's more about how you live than where you live. It's more important about how you live with your spouse once you have a spouse than who your spouse is. You get that? It's more important about how you work at your job rather than trying to get out of your job. It's about how you live, not where you live. Maybe 80%, and this doesn't come from scripture per se, but just ideas and wisdom maybe. Maybe 80% of life is dealing with how you live, not where you live. Lots of options. Lots of guidance. But be the person you ought to be where you are, even if you're questioning where you are. Don't wait until the next place in life to kindly be what you should be. When I was preparing to go to college, I didn't want to go, and my father said I had to go for 1 year. Settled on a school, and my buddy Dave Lobby was going there, so I said, well, let's go, we'll have fun, and all of that kind of a thing. And when it came to my spiritual life, I knew I had really put it on the back burner. And I said I would not start praying until I got there. I mean, I prayed for meals, but like actually stopping and praying for like 10 minutes. I wasn't doing that. But the first day I slept in my dorm, that was going to be the day I woke up and prayed for 10 minutes. And I didn't start early, start late. It was May. I knew that when August came, that's what was going to happen. I put off how I was living. I was waiting for where I was living. Some of you are waiting for the right relationship, and then you'll do these things. Some of you are waiting to really engage in faith and get serious about it once you have kids, because then you want to set this table with faith, but you're waiting until then. No, it's where you are right now. That's how you ought to be important about where you're living when it comes to direction. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. This isn't meaning that you get God to get on your side, and then he'll let you have your own way. It's the idea that when you're following him, when you're in sync with him, you'll find that your way is his way, and his way is your way. That's a beautiful thing when you're moving in a certain direction and you're so captivated by following Christ, growing in Christ, that your way, your attitude, your bent is actually the way God wants you bent. He's not pulling you with the leash. You're walking side by side. I'm not a dog person, obviously, because I didn't know what kind of dog that really was. But, I have walked a dog before, and it's a pleasure when they kind of walk with you, but when they fight you every step of the way, it's not a pleasure. It's kind of a joy. I think the dog's having fun. I'm not yanking on his collar or anything. He's just kind of going with me. And when your way is his way and his way is your way, because you're so tight with him and you're growing with him. It's more about... more like an instant picture than a cell phone picture. Now, it's funny, when I was writing this, Megan corrected me because it's more like a Kodak picture, because she was like, a lot of people aren't going to know what a Kodak picture is. And then it like a instant picture, like I said, instant picture. She said, let's go with cell phone, because people will get that, because we will know the difference, because some people don't ever know that there was stuff like this.
It's got the instant camera you've been waiting for. Instant color photographs, that's what the handle's for. So carry on. Let yourself shall go. Grab onto the handle at a low, low price for dry, self-timing color pictures that happen in minutes right before your eyes. Grab onto the handle and carry on. The Handle, Kodak's newest and lowest priced instant camera.
Minutes? Minutes? It would clear up and you'd start to see the images. Actually, just recently, I think they've come out with these again. You don't have to crank anything. My daughter has them, and I'm like, why aren't you just using your phone? Wait, let me see. And she waits, see it, and then take another picture, and it's like about this size. But this idea of a picture and the idea of an instant picture versus one that's developing in an instant cell phone that's just, it's right there. It morphs into what we see. And really, that's when it comes to direction. It's not, we don't get the whole answer. We start to see it fill in, the colors sharpen up over time. Sometimes that's over a week, over a month. Occasionally, it's years. And all of a sudden, we start to see it developing, and we go, I see it. I see how the direction is. I see how it's coming together. I see what it looks like. But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. And I hope when you hear the word righteous, you don't think of the person that's perfect, but a person that's growing in their relationship with Christ. Their life is becoming more right in the way they live, not self-righteous, but right. And as they do that, it's like the sun coming up, and you can start to see things. Have you ever arrived at a destination at night and you just kind of get into the place you're at and you don't really know where you are? You think it's going to be a nice place, and it isn't until the next morning that you really get where you are, the views, how beautiful it is. A friend of mine had a little place on the ocean, and first time I went up there, we arrived at night, and I could hear the ocean, but that's about it. I knew it was out there. I could smell it, and it wasn't until the next day that I actually could see it. And it was just stunning and glorious and fantastic. That's what happens as you and I live in that rhythm of following Christ. And it's not just great for us in what we see, but it's great for those around us because they see God in us and it draws them out to see things clearly. If people are watching our lives, do they clearly see Christ in it, or is it kind of foggy and it's still developing and they're just a little bit unsure? That picture growing and focusing, that Kodak kind of picture versus a cell phone just like that. But the path of the wrongdoer gets darker and darker. Travelers can't see a thing. They fall flat on their faces. Have you ever been in a funk spiritually where you're kind of shaking your fist at God, you're disengaged, you're not spending time with Him? And instead of being relieved by that, freed from God, freed from the responsibility of living like He would have us to do, you find life getting darker. You find life getting harder. It gets darker and darker, and you don't see a thing. Sometimes we bump into people that were very bright for Jesus, and now they're not bright for Jesus. Our first response is, oh, bad person. No, your first response would be, I don't want to be that person. I could become that person. I joke about this. I don't want to become a grumpy old man. That's a guy who loses sight, and it gets darker and darker and darker. And I've met a number of true believers that their path gets darker and darker, and they start falling flat on their faces. It may not be in dramatic ways, but it's with relationships. It's just with joy. They don't have that joy we just sung about, and that's not a great place to be. So seeing out there, seeing what's going on, seeing God's direction, seeing it clearly. As we're thinking about this, occasionally we get photobombed, right? We're living our life, and all of a sudden something interrupts us, and what we see, what we want, where we think life is going just changes everything. And that just reminded me of this scene.
Bus, get out of the way, bus. Nothing to see here. By the time the city bus moved on, it was all over. Here, by the way, launched 1,000 imitators. This is the internet, after all. This collection came to us courtesy of Sports Illustrated. So look at it this way. While we lost the former wonder of the South, we gained a meme. And by tomorrow, this time, there's something else we'll all be talking about.
You got what just happened there. That guy had set up his camera and was ready to take a great film of that Colosseum being destroyed to build a new one, and the city bus comes in and wrecks it all. Sometimes in life we get photobombed, and it seems to spoil our beautiful, beautiful outlooks, scenic outlooks. Situations come up, and we get this moment where is it going to spoil it, rob it, destroy it, take it away? We read this story about Ahab and Jezebel. I don't know if you remember Ahab and Jezebel. Do you remember Elijah? You remember the Mount Carmel? Some people joke and call it the Mount Carmel meltdown. You get it? Carmel meltdown. You know, and what happens is there's all these Baal priests up there, and they're having a showdown on top of the mountain, and Elijah taunts them, you know, do your thing, call down fire, see what happens. They go nuts, crazy, trying to get fire to come down from heaven, and then it's Elijah's turn. He builds his altar, and there's a lot of symbolism going on there, then has a bunch of buckets, 12 buckets of water come up, pours it all over it. Well, before, I got to tell you this, before he does that, you know, he's joking and taunting the Baal worshipers. Oh, you know, is your God, you know, it actually means, is your God meditating? Is your God, you know, in the bathroom, you know? You know, and they're just going crazy, you know, nothing happens. And so it's just him by himself, altar set up, buckets of water come up from the ocean, and then he calls down fire. All the water's gone. Everything's gone. This is like Super Bowl win of ever. Elijah just like, shh, you know. And what's amazing is this scenic overlook gets spoiled, gets stolen in a second by Jezebel. And we read, now, Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, and now he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make you like your life like that of one of them. And what does he do? He takes off. He takes off. He melts. Top of his game. Everything's great. Should be going, yay, God, this is awesome. And just one person steals, spoils it just like that. And these are things she had not really said before. This is not new for her. She was always out. She and Ahab were always out to get Elijah. But for some reason, this got him. Sometimes you and I have the view and God's working and all of a sudden somebody spoils it or we allow someone to spoil it. And if you watch the rest of it, I'm so watching, you know, if you read the rest of the story, you'll see that, he is just running on empty. Even though he's at the top of his game, he's running on empty. And he just takes off and is just a broken man. And it reminds me of this idea that you can't fill tomorrow by running on empty today. That's worth the price of admission this morning. Think about that. Are you running on empty today? Because it will not fill tomorrow unless some things change. Are you running on empty this week, this month, this year, this decade? You can't fill tomorrow by running on empty today. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. He was in the moment. It was, you know, high fives. Everything's going good. People turned. It was just a great moment. It rains. If you know the story, it hadn't rained for all this time. It's just fantastic. And he melts. He runs off. And we're going to see in a little bit, I think, that he just wants to curl up and die. He should be like, you know, doing the talk show circuit, you know, and hey, yeah, I'm Elijah, it was great, you know. You know, he just wants to just die. He wants to be by himself. See, if we slow down and think, instead of them being spoiled, we can find that there is a surprise to our scenic overlooks. There's something good. There's a silver lining. Not always emotionally satisfying, but something wonderful happens. When all of a sudden we think the overlook has, the direction has been spoiled, the view for life has been spoiled, all of a sudden we can be surprised with some kind of joy, some kind of just, wow, this was different than I saw. This tragedy, this difficulty has turned around. We can be surprised by that. Instead of being photobombed in a negative way, we're looking at the display, we're trying to get, you know, the guy's probably a photographer, and this is a part of his income, and he's figured it all out. I'm going to put my camera up here and record this event, and I'll be able to sell it to a couple radio, TV stations and such like that, and it's just ruined. But that can all change. I don't know if he could have monetized that, but if he took that video and monetized what we just watched, I bet you he would have made more money that way than the other way. So there could be a surprise, and that reminds me of these photobombers.
Backstage at the Tonight Show ride, people think they're about to take their picture taken on stage at the ride, but we're going to surprise them by photobombing them as
us, kind of.
As us, but they don't know that it's...
Yeah, but it's us. It's all four of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, let's do this.
Let's do it.
Big smiles. Look right down this lens. Big, big, big smiles. 3, 2, 1.
Can we get that shot? Do we get it? Oh, it's crazy. Can we get it?
That is.
There you go.
3, 2, 1. Wait, 3, 2, 1.
My man, my hero, since I was like 5 years old.
Did we get the shot?
What's up, dude?
Did we get the. Can we get the picture?
I think we got it. No tears.
I think we got it.
No, dude.
I helped. You like to reach it. I think we got the photo, man.
Oh, my God. Look at that, dude.
Oh, my God.
Dude, he's got a tattoo of you on it.
Oh, my.
Come over here. Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
That guy loves The Rock. Had the tattoo and everything. How many times in life are you being photobombed and all of a sudden it turns out to be a great, wonderful surprise? You think you're being photobombed by people dressing up to be The Rock and Jimmy Fallon, which is kind of funny, and you find it really is them. How many times are you looking at life, and it seems to be falling apart, direction stinks, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I'm being photobombed by God himself. He's showing up. Thought about it. Some images from my life, we all have them. Even if you haven't followed Christ for that long, there are times where you have seen things get hard, or things good, and then realize, wait a minute, this isn't just me. This isn't my moment. God is in this moment. His photobombing is happening all around me. He's in the picture. And it just blows your mind. Last week, I took this picture of me and my 3 daughters. And there we are. Not last week, obviously. And I have joy, and I realize that was a photobomb. God made that all possible. You have those kinds of situations happening in your life. Have a couple favorite of them. 13, 14 years ago, getting to be that 12 years ago. Remember here, right up on this platform, changed a little bit, and realized that was one of those photobomb things. I'm showing pictures of my life, but you have the exact same pictures in your life. You have pictures where all of a sudden you see that God is photobombing you. Had a major fall a number of years ago. There I am. Broke my back, but I do have Starbucks. Jim Gardner got that for me. That was within hours of breaking my back, by the way. But God photobombed that moment. I don't know. What do you have in your life? What's going on? Let the surprise take place and see how God is photobombing you. Verse that I hate to even use because it's so overused, but it shouldn't be overused. Some of us just need to sink into this verse like we sink into our favorite comfortable chair. Or if you got one of those memory foam beds, you kind of like sink into it. Trust the Lord completely. Don't depend or lean on your own knowledge. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. As you're traveling, as you're following the GPS, lean into Him. Realize that whatever you're facing, even my friend's mom passing away, there was joy. They leaned completely into that. 86 years old, but still just joy. My youngest daughter in Canada had a dear friend's husband die in a car accident this week, 37. Kids and all those kinds of things. Those things happen all the time. Happen all the time. And there's no emotionally good answer for those kinds of things. But can you trust? Is God big enough to trust Him in those moments? Every one of us has one of those stories or a couple of those stories. Trust the Lord completely. Don't depend or lean on your own knowledge. Doesn't mean don't be wise. Doesn't mean check your brain at the door. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. There's a lot of verses listed there. I'm not going to read them all, but just a couple more here. Enemies disappear from the sidelines. Their reputation is trashed. Their names erased from the halls of fame. That sounds, wow, that's pretty harsh. But if you have somebody that's riding you hard, you don't create that. You leave that in God's hands, and God's hands takes care of things. Have you ever been the mercy of somebody else that has no mercy for you? And all of a sudden the tables get turned, and God's taking care of you? The truth comes out? God's got this. Trust Him, whatever you're going through. You took over and set everything right when I needed you. You were there taking charge. So as you're traveling, if you understand that you're a traveler and you're just passing through and you're trying to trust God more, lean less on your own understanding, I'd like to leave you with this bottom line this morning. You can trust God further than you can see Him. In any situation, and you may say, well, Dave, you don't know what I'm going through, and I probably don't. Probably not experiencing what you're experiencing, but I do know this is true. You can trust God further than you can see Him. And so be a traveler. Walk life. You're going to be okay. The worst ultimate thing, if you've said yes to Christ, is to close your eyes and wake up in the presence of your Heavenly Father. It's the worst thing that can happen to you. Worst thing. And that's pretty great. You can trust Him, Father. Then you can see Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all of us are facing different things, feeling the weight of them in different ways, but I'm thankful that we can trust You even when we don't see You. And Lord, this isn't to minimize anything that somebody's going through. All we have to do is look at our Savior and what he went through, and he trusted you every step of the way. And because of his trust, his faithfulness, we can all get in on that. So today, Father, if there's anyone who's never said yes to you, never asked you to join their life, asked for forgiveness of their sins, to be made right with you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation so they could begin traveling as one who can trust you even when they can't see you. And for those of us who have already done that, I pray that it would be a day-by-day, hour-by-hour event where we're trusting you and leaning in, that we do see we can pass through the difficulties and we have a future, a hope that is glorious because it is in you. I thank you for that. Thank you is small words for the gratitude we feel. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today in person and online. Like I mentioned before, members of our prayer team are up here. They would love to talk with you, pray with you about anything going on in your life. So please take advantage of that. One of the many ways that you can worship God and show how thankful you are to him is by giving of your tithes and your offerings. We do have offering boxes available throughout the building. You can also mail in a gift or use safe and secure online giving through our website. We're so grateful for your continued generosity as we've started the new year. And please know that we strive to use your gifts in the most God-honoring ways possible. Two more things. Remember that the What's Next class is happening soon in the conference room. That'll be in about 5 to 10 minutes, so please be patient for that. And also, please join us next Sunday as Dave continues the Traveler Message series. And I don't know why, but Kevin never mentioned this, so I guess it's my job. Go Bills! Have a good day. Bye-bye.